Good morning. It's been a great day already. Today we're going to be talking about the intimacy with God and the Holy Spirit. A month or two ago, we talked about intimacy with our Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord willing, we'll do one with intimacy with God, our Heavenly Father. And as we go into this time, we want to pray, please. Lord, I pray for your touch upon each one of us today. Pray, Lord, for outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon us. Pray, Lord God, for your touch upon our service, that many will experience a genuine spiritual awakening in the reality of God and the person of God, the Holy Spirit. Pray for myself that I'd be totally clean by the washing of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I share that your word would come forth the way it intended to, and we just thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. I thought this was a good time to speak on the intimacy with the Holy Spirit, and then also a good time to be reminded through the baptism, because that's what happened during the Pentecost Sunday. 3,000 came to Christ, and they were baptized. Well, we just had one today, but that's a good start. From John chapter 16, I'll be looking at John 16 and Romans 8. And so if you have your Bible, you can keep your finger on Romans 8, and I'll go in John 16, and then we'll move through this together. The writer says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," and Jesus is speaking, of course, "it is to your advantage that I will go away. For I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for I will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." And then Romans 8, if you just flip over to Romans 8, a few verses from there as well. Romans 8, beginning at verse 9, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Indeed, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who rose Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." And then just down to verse 14 for a couple of verses. Verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together." Today, as I mentioned, is Pentecost Sunday. Just to give you a little bit of a history of that term, Pentecost means 50th day. It is celebrated on Pentecost Sunday, and it happens to be today, May 20th, 2018. Pentecost comes from a Jewish harvest festival called Shavuot. The apostles and others were celebrating this festival when the Holy Spirit descended on them. We remember that story, and I'll go a little bit more into it as we go along. I want to review the Holy Spirit, the sharing of that for a few minutes. He is the third member of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you know from our baptism, that's what we do. I asked the question of Cindy, Does she believe that Jesus Christ is her Savior and the Son of God? And does she want to follow him? And of course, we keep it simple up here. We just ask them to say yes or no. And of course, a big yes. And then we say, we baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we do that in recognition of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he's the third member of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And from 2 Corinthians 13, that benediction there, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. And throughout Paul's epistle, you'll see a similar benediction that is mentioned. Secondly, he took part, back up here a sec. Secondly, he took part in creation. I perhaps have mentioned that to you before. As a young man, as a young Christian, I just thought God the Father was the only one that was involved in creation. And then a little later, I started to hear something out of John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ was part of creation as well. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And then I go to the book of Genesis and find out that God the Holy Spirit was there as well. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters. You see, God is not going to be separated. He is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thirdly, keeps jumping on me, excuse me. In the Old Testament times, he came upon people. And in a moment, I'll be talking about the significance of that. He came upon people to empower them for ministry. But the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. I'm just going to give you two examples here. And he blew a trumpet, and he called Israel to him in Judges 6:34. The Word of God talks about the Holy Spirit came upon Gideon. He was anointed with God's power, and as a result of that, he went out and did great things for God. Second example I'm just going to give to you today is the Spirit of God came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh on his way to destroy the enemies. Again, it said the Holy Spirit came upon Jephthah. And then as we go into the New Testament, we'll see how Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit will come. Not only will he be with you, but he will be within you. He will empower you as individuals. We find this at the day of Pentecost. Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to indwell the believer. In John 14, 16, it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him." And here's a significant phrase here that Jesus is giving at this time. He says, "You know him." In other words, as he's talking to the disciples and to us, he reminds them that over time, as they look at the Scriptures, the Old Testament, they know and they knew that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. He said, "He know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you." And of course, that took place, of course, at Pentecost. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and onto the uttermost parts of the world." And we know that from Acts chapter 2, where this promise was fulfilled. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Shavuot, they gathered in Jerusalem for that feast, that harvest feast, and different things happened that they weren't expecting. Of course, the Jewish people that came from these 18 different nations to gather together and to share. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, why did they need to speak in other tongues? Why did they need to hear in other tongues? Well, there was 18 nationalities that had been spread over the then known world who came to Jerusalem for that Shavuot, that special harvest festival. It was at that time the Holy Spirit descended upon them. They took that language, they took that message, they went back to their different countries and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we find that the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. We find that they were there, one accord. They were there for the Shavuot festival, the Jewish festival of harvest. They were there in one place. Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And he says, "You will be my witnesses." So one place in Jerusalem, one power, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon that group that day, and what a change in people's lives. 3,000 came to know Jesus Christ personally that day. In a few moments, we're going to be talking about how you can know Jesus Christ in a personal way, because that's the greatest thing that you will ever do in your life. To be a millionaire is really insignificant compared to knowing Jesus Christ personally. To run a big business or whatever is very insignificant when it comes to knowing Christ and his love and power. So one power, God the Holy Spirit, and one mission, and that was go from Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as we look at this, we see how Jesus Christ walks through and teaches us in the Holy Spirit. We already talked about Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit to us. Secondly, intimacy with the Holy Spirit begins when I accept Jesus Christ into my life. And the question, of course, is have I accepted Jesus Christ into my life? We just heard Cindy's testimony, and of course, some of you heard it, but you have actually had to read it like me. Otherwise, you wouldn't have known what she was saying. But it'd be very, very clear that there was that time as people gathered around her and loved her and prayed for her that she realized that she needed to have Jesus Christ come into her heart and life and change her forever. And that was what her testimony was all about. Of course, in our church, we always want people to give testimony of why they want to be baptized. And of course, the question is, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And that was the question that I asked Cindy. And of course, I always like to make it very clear. If you've never done that, I would like to encourage you to do that. Just a very simple prayer. You need to invite Christ to come into your life. I confess that I'm a sinner, and that's Cindy's testimony. It was clear there. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross, that he was raised from the dead Easter Sunday for my justification. That means my ransom. That means just as if I've not sinned, he replaced my sins with his righteousness, and that's what that term means. I now repent of my sins. I receive and confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life and for saving me. And I went through that very quickly, and so I'm just going to go through it a little bit slower. And perhaps if you're here today and you've never said yes to Jesus, this is a good time to do it, because this will change your life forever. Reminded of 1 John when it's talking about the one who witnesses will help that one to come to know Jesus Christ and save him from hell, save him from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. I just think of what would have happened to me if I wouldn't have come to know Christ by the influence of a pastor by the name of Jack Smith. And that changed my life forever. And that hid a multitude of sins. And the reason being is because when I came to Christ, I did not want to do the things that I used to do. So maybe you want to just in your mind and in your heart, pray this prayer and invite Christ to come in. I confess to God that I'm a sinner. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross, that he was raised from the dead for my justification. I now repent of my sins. I receive and confess Jesus as my Savior and Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my life and for saving me. Amen. If you've done that, I'll be around up here. You can come and talk to me. If you have some more questions, we want to make sure that this is clear in your heart and in your mind. Thirdly, intimacy with the Holy Spirit. He convicts us of sin as believers. He draws us closer to Christ. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who had raised up Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells within you. That life we talked about, the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Point four, he teaches us. He teaches us. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's a wonderful, wonderful blessing of the Holy Spirit in our life, that he teaches us. I know personally that I wouldn't be here speaking today. There wasn't a time in my life where Jesus Christ and God the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about what I needed to do in my life. And I'm thankful that I've listened. I want to continue to listen, and I trust you will as well. And of course, as I come to the end of the message, like I always do, I'll give you a challenge to just do that very, very thing. Got to go back one more. He prays for us. Did you know the Holy Spirit prays for you if you're a believer in Jesus? You're in a tight situation. You don't know where to turn, what to do. You're stressed out, whether it's money, whether it's health, whether it's difficulty in a marriage, family, whatever it is. But we can trust the Holy Spirit to pray for us because this is what God's Word says. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So he prays for us. I depend on the Holy Spirit. When Pastor Ken asked me to speak this day, I began to ask God to teach me about what I needed to say, because he knows who's going to be in this audience today. So I depended upon the Holy Spirit to begin to speak into my life and share. And so if you're hearing this message, it's because it's a message I trust from God the Holy Spirit. So he prays for us. He helps us during those times. And he comforts us. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I'm working on a message for this out of this passage of Scripture. So I'll just talk about comfort for a moment. If we went through that passage, we would see the many times it's really the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that is mentioned in here. The Parakletos, when the word comfort comes up, it's not just laying down and being comforted. It's the power of the Holy Spirit within us. More to come. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Dear ones, you might be going through some tough times today. Maybe things have not been as easy as they once were. But God is saying in his word that the God of all comfort will comfort us. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, could be used weaknesses or struggles, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And we know some of you have walked through some very deep waters, death of a friend, a loved one, whatever it is. And as God heals you, you can reach out and comfort those who are going through some of the same things. And so we find that he comforts us. And he wants to do that on a daily basis. Talk to God about it, and he will minister to you. Number seven, intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Just a reminder, he can be grieved. He can be quenched, and he can be blasphemed. and we don't want to do any of those things. How does that happen? Through jealousy, through anger, through prejudice, through lying, through bitterness, through unforgiveness, through unclean thoughts. And I could fill that slide, but I'll just stop there. And perhaps as you're thinking about that, you might be saying, Lord, I've got something else that I'm struggling with. And I don't want to grieve. I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. I want to deal with that. And that's why it's very, very important for us to understand clearly that we can ask God to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I like to be practical. I taught high school and college and university and different things, and I always like to give homework. And so for some of you that hate homework, you're going to hate this, but that is okay. I'll just let you do what God tells you to do. I want to look at 6 daily practices which proves or disproves your intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And I've got some questions as we walk through this. And these are questions that I ask myself pretty well on a daily basis, maybe with different words. But the first one is, do I ask God to forgive us for our sins every day? Dear ones, you shouldn't go to bed at night without confessing your sins. You should make sure that if you were to meet God in the middle of the night, it would be good to have a clean heart, right? Let me challenge you. Let me encourage you. And that's not new to me. That's something that someone challenged me with many, 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 many years ago. And I continue to challenge people in counseling, in churches, or whatever. John writes, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Pretty strong words. And so as we look at this, we need to say, God, I need to ask you to forgive my sins. What I've tried to do in my life is when I realize if I have impure thoughts or words or actions or wrong motives, then I ask God to wash me and cleanse me so I can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. When you ask God to forgive you right away, say, God, and I ask you to fill me again with the Holy Spirit. Dwight L. Moody, the founder of the Moody Church and led many, many, many people to Jesus Christ, he challenged us. He says, we as Christians are leaky vessels, and we need to be filled often. But you can't be filled if you got sin in your life, friends. You can't ask God the Holy Spirit to empower you if you want to continue with your sin. You have to say, Jesus, cleanse me, wash me, and then he can fill you. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is success, but be filled with the Spirit. The command, be filled with your Spirit. Filled with God's Holy Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And of course, in a few moments, I'm going to be talking about a joyful Christian. How to become a joyful Christian? By being filled with the Holy Spirit, letting him control you. To ask God to do that. And then replace sinful thoughts with Scripture. The psalmist knew that so very, very well. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. God's word in our heart makes the difference in our life, because it's the word of God that speaks to us by the Holy Spirit, to change us forever. 1 Corinthians 6, Paul says, "What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your spirit, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so very, very important for us to recognize that clearly. And then the psalmist says, and I quote this many, many times for myself, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It's interesting that that's just the benediction or the concluding statement that David is making in Psalm 139 after he's talking about, "God, you've made me in a wonderful way. You've built me. You've made me. You've formed me in my mother's wombs. You lead me every step of the way." And then he comes and says, "Lord, search me. I want to follow you." Number four, do you accept yourself as special to God? Do you feel today that you're special? Dear ones, if you know Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you're special. Jesus Christ hung on that cross. I know that's just symbolic. He hung on that cross to take away every sin, and you can accept the fact that you are very special. And Paul in Romans 8 says, "Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." Dear ones, it doesn't matter what you're going through, Jesus Christ is there and wants to minister to you. That's how much he loves you, and we need to keep that in mind. And then number five, choose to be a thankful person. Christians need to be thankful. It's sad when you find out that there are Christians in a certain workplace and they're miserable. In fact, the non-Christians are much more thankful and joyful than the Christian. Dear ones, that should never, ever be. We have the Spirit of the living God within us. We have God the Father within us. We have Jesus Christ who died for us within us. Yes, we're going to go through some difficulties, some trials, but God is very, very clear that he wants us to be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are you a thankful person? And so as we look at these different things, we know that this is what the power of the Spirit of God wants to do in our life. And then lastly, do you give yourself to serve people as Jesus Christ served and ministered to people? Do you make it a plan in your life and say, "God, if you bring something or someone into my life that I need to help and minister to, I want to be available. I want to be available." And let me encourage you today to say even right now, "God, I want to be available. There are many people that need to know Jesus. There are many people that are suffering and need help. And God, I'm your child and you've given me your power and I want to help." And I realize some of us are struggling maybe with physical things, some of the things we cannot do, but there are things that we can do if we ask God to help us. And so, do we want that close intimacy with God the Holy Spirit today? And are we willing to follow his steps daily? I just want to recap just for a moment. Firstly, the most important thing that we need to do is have Jesus Christ in our heart and life to accept him. And then to make sure that we deal with sins in our life and then ask him to fill us and empower us with his Holy Spirit, to desire to walk in peace and in power so we can reach out and comfort other people. And we can pray even today, "Lord Jesus, you know what's in my life. Lord, this is a stumbling block that I've really struggled with. And I want to give it to you today. I don't want to carry it anymore. Because if I see you tonight at midnight, I want to make sure my life is pure and clean. And as we go to prayer in just a moment, I want you to think about that and say, Lord, I want a change in my life. Anytime you want to talk, we want to talk up here. Some of you, if you want to know a little more about Jesus Christ, getting to know him personally, or other things, we'll meet you here. We can talk rather than drink coffee at Coffee Crossing. And so we want to pray at this time.